2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. And yes, the sun is trying really hard today to keep itself out there. And Ton, I think it's headed your direction now. It's going behind the clouds here in downtown Salt Lake City.
Well, it still isn't quite out here yet, but it is brighter than it was a few minutes ago.
Working its way. We need a little bit of sunshine on this Saturday morning. Thank you so much for joining us for the Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton, taking your questions. The next person is talking about our plant of the week, the Norfolk pine. They planted their Norfolk pine out in the garden. They put a barrel over it, and they want to know if it's going to make it over the winter.
No, it's not.
Bring it in.
Bring it in, dig it up, bring it in, and it's just too cold here. And because, you know, for a number of reasons, where this is more used to a central Florida-type climate, it's just not going to cut it. I mean, if you had any number of other semi-hardy plants, you'd be okay, but in this situation, no.
Okay, and make sure when you bring it in, put it in some nice potting soil. Don't leave it in that outside dirt, right?
Correct. You want to put it in potting soil.
Boy, that just turns into just a concrete base.
It does.
I've been amazed at seeing that. Okay, next person has a money tree inside, and they say suddenly they've got all these little fruit flies that are pretty much taken over. They've been trapping them in apple cider vinegar, but this person says they're coming in herds. Can they spray them with anything, or what would you recommend?
They're probably fungus gnats, and the first thing I would check is the water in the soil, because the fungus gnats will go crazy when the soil is swampy wet. Even though the top might be a little drier, if the plant doesn't have drainage, they go crazy.
Okay, so make sure you're not getting too much water in
there. Yes, and there's some fungus gnat control fact sheets out there. You can sometimes find a soil drench called Natrol, G-N-A-T-R-O-L, that's basically BT. Anyway, but sometimes it's cheaper to buy a new plant than to buy the Natrol to treat.
Oh, it's expensive. Huh?
Well, anytime you're paying more than about $15 or $20 for a treatment for something like fungus gnats that will probably get rid of them, but maybe not. You know, a new money tree is probably the same price. And because this other one's so infested, you know, do you want to run the risk? And so it's just always a decision you have to make on that. But if it is fruit flies, it's a little late in the season, and I've never heard of them being attracted to money trees, so that's why I suspect it's fungus gnats.
Okay, our next person has some lilac hedges on their property line that have grown to over 8 feet tall. They want to know when to prune those. They still want to make sure and have flowers in the spring, though. And can they shape them throughout the year, or how should they be doing this?
If you try to shape them through the year, you will lose your flowers. And so the time to prune them is right when they're done blooming, which will be sometime in mid to late May, maybe a little earlier depending on the season. And the reason you do that is the flower buds are set on new growth within a couple of weeks of them being done. So the flowers come on one-year-old wood. So to prune them, you would use that technique called renewal pruning we described earlier, where you're taking some of the biggest limbs out from as far close into the base as you can get. So you'll take about 20% of those out. Then you can go in and give them a light haircut to keep the size down. But you've also got to remember, lilacs, if they're old-fashioned or French hybrid or whatever, want to get 12 feet tall. And you can keep them down to 7 or 8 feet for the most part, but probably not a lot smaller.
Next person is concerned about the leaves not dropping off their trees. They're wondering what determines that. We talked a little bit about this last week. They say there seem to be late this year dropping, especially the Emerald Queen Norway maples, which are still hanging on to their leaves.
So a lot of the trees that drop their leaves have to form what's called an abscission layer. And the abscission layer is the tree basically physically forcing the leaf off, because during snow and rain and high wind in the winter, a lot of times keeping the leaves is going to be more detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
The trees froze this year before they completed forming that abscission layer. And so eventually it'll kind of just not really rot off, but they will detach from there, but it will take longer to do.
Okay, next person. So they shouldn't be too concerned about that. It's just going to take some time.
You know, unless it's a cottonwood or a tree that's extremely susceptible to breaking in the snow, hopefully those leaves drop off in time. And this happened last year, and we didn't have a lot of problems.
Okay, our next person says their golden sage plant has grown very large. Can they cut it down and successfully replant it?
I would wait for mid to late March of next year to do that.
So the answer is yes, but you need to wait till spring.
I would at this point, yes.
Next person talking about the apple video this morning. They want to know if they can still, if Jonathan apples are still available, and can they rootstock them?
Well, look up Pine Farms. They have a website. And the only reason I single this one out, and I know there's probably others out there, but Pine Farms is one of the few farms that still have a few Jonathans around. And I would email them to find out if they still have the fruit. Otherwise, absolutely, Jonathan is one of the more common heirloom varieties that people like. And you can get online and purchase Jonathan apples as a tree from multiple suppliers. Now, if you're wanting to graft that, people like, I'm going to save some money and graft it. And unless you're a hobbyist and know what you're doing and you're in for the long haul, just buy a tree.
Save you the frustration?
Well, you've got to buy a one-year-old rootstock, and then you've got about a year wait to make sure that that took, and then you've got to grow the tree out for another 4 or 5 years, you know, maybe even 7 or 8 before it gets fruit. And like I said, unless you're in it for the learning and the hobby, just order a $30 or $40 Jonathan apple online.
All right. Next person is planting an eastern redbud today. Any recommendations for planting trees in the fall?
Well,
are we still in fall? When does it become winter?
Yes, we are. Hmm. I think that when we hit the winter, what is it? Not the solstice. Is it the solstice? It is.
Yeah, I think it's still the solstice.
Winter solstice. I think around there is when winter officially starts.
Feels like winter.
So, yes, actually you can, yeah, transplant. And
sorry.
No, you're fine. Wow, what were we talking about?
The person wants to know how to best plant the tree right now.
Yeah, that. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, dig your hole and get it a little bit wider, you know, 6 inches to a foot wider all the way around. Don't bury it too deeply. No deeper than the soil and the pot. And make sure that you can see the graft union that should be 2 or 3 inches above the base of the soil in the pot. And that needs to be above ground.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the remaining minutes of the Greenhouse Show. Thank you so much for spending your Saturday morning with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thanks for spending your Saturday with the KSL Greenhouse. Ton, let's get to some of these text questions before we run out of time. Next listener says they're talking about the African violets that you mentioned earlier and not to fertilize them in the winter. But they're wondering, well, then when do you start fertilizing?
No, that should have been an exception because for African violets, you can fertilize lightly.
Okay.
Because of how they're maintained. And I have never been one that has grown them. We had one of our staff assistants that was quite good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because they flower oftentimes almost year round, they can be, you know, very light solution of houseplant fertilizer. Other houseplants you don't do in
okay.
the winter.
So they are the exception. So
they
don't
are.
Do the other houseplants. So when do you fertilize or do you need to fertilize the other houseplants?
In the spring, you can use half-strength houseplant fertilizer or something along the lines of Osmocote mm-hmm. that is intended for houseplants, granular products. There's many. But sometime in March or April is when you'd put the fertilizer on your houseplants. Because they're not really actively growing right now, you don't really want to fertilize them.
Okay, I'm glad that they texted back so we could clarify. Next texter wants to know, they have a laurel that has gotten too large, and what's the best way to trim it? Not now, right?
Not now. You would mm-hmm. use renewal pruning instead of giving it a haircut. The English laurels are evergreen, and so if you try to just haircut them, you cut the leaves in half, and they look a little silly. So in the spring, sometime in late March or mid to late March, you would go in and just take out about 20% of the branches toward the base.
Okay. And then the next listener wants to know, when they can deadhead their roses, can they prune them back now?
You can deadhead them, but the roses, no, don't prune them, especially if they're hybrid tea. And just wait for mid-March of next year. I actually posted a hyperlink to my extension podcast, Homegrown Horticulture, on fall pruning.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had about 6 questions today on pruning roses. And I would encourage mm-hmm. people to go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, look up that hyperlink, and listen. It's about 5 minutes long on the reasons you should avoid fall pruning if you can.
Right. So what about the leaves on the roses? Because they seem to hang on to their leaves, but then they sure make a mess when they finally do fall. Does it matter if you take some of those leaves off?
If they're brown, you can carefully pick them off if you want to. They'll eventually drop.
But you could hurt them, right?
You could. You can actually, if you're not, and I wouldn't recommend it, but you could rip the outer bark off, which is where the conductive tissue is.
Let's not do that. That sounds like something that could really hurt your roses, right?
It could.
So what is the reason? I mean, don't they get all of their nutrition through their leaves and the greenery? So that's one of the reasons that you don't want to be doing that?
Well, as far as the roses go, yes, the energy is collected. And this is any plant through the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And roses hold their leaves longer into the winter than most other shrubs we grow. And they oftentimes will be blooming through at least mid-November. But they also don't seem to be very harmed by just letting their leaves go black instead of shedding them like a normal shrub would do or more commonly do. So as far as that goes, you know, sometimes if those leaves are on there, they can split out in the snow. And that's why we say to cut them back enough, just those tallest stems, so they don't do that. But because they're also hardy down to maybe -5 for a lot of our varieties, you don't want to cut them back too hard. Because you want to leave as much as those branches intact so that if we do have a hard winter, they're more likely to make it through and at least have some tissue to regrow the next year.
Mm-hmm. Another listener wanted to chime in on your video on apple tasting. They're saying that one of their favorite apples is a Macintosh. They say they love this as a youth, though they don't see it much anymore. Why don't we see Macintosh apples?
They're hard to grow, and they were an apple that a long time were considered good. mm-hmm. but not super great. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody, and this is just what the data and information says. And when more modern apples came along that were easier to grow, Macs are a pretty good storage apple, but the apples came along that were easier to grow, easier to transport, that people thought maybe tasted better, Macintosh lost popularity through the 70s and early 80s.
You know, there's nothing like those childhood memories, though, of some of your favorite foods and, you know, an apple or anything else that you grow in your garden that you just loved when your parents, you know, fed you.
Yeah, and it really was. You know, my grandpa used to tell stories about growing summer apples, and apples at the time weren't available year-round, and he just looked forward to walking out to his yellow transparent apple tree and eating that first apple off the tree of the summer, you know, late July, early August. Yellow transparent is an apple now that people kind of consider a has-been apple. It's only good for sauce, but you know, historically, it was a very important apple and sometimes a very important food source.
I think it's very interesting, too, that just how our childhood memories play into what we grow in our yards and what foods we still eat.
You know, I raisins and oatmeal is one thing that I kind of consider generational. And, you know, anybody you talk to now, you put what in what? But I know a lot of like my uncles and aunts, my parents really like that. And it's funny how that goes. But yeah, I have memories of Concord grapes and Golden Delicious apple. And until the day I die, I think Golden Delicious apple will be my favorite apple.
Well, Ton, we are out of time. I hope people go to the Facebook page, the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, see all the wonderful videos and other information that we've put up there this morning. And Ton, you have a great weekend.
You also.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.